Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speakers are Father Xavier Lavaghetto, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community, and Teresa Plains, chaplain of liturgy and music at the Catholic community. It is the sixth Sunday of Easter, and the readings are from Cycle B.
I hear all kinds of confessions, some so honest they fill me with awe, some so heartrending they bring tears, some so perfunctory you ask, well, what's the point? Some so guilt-ridden you wonder if they have ever heard gospel good news at all. But I'm always humbled before your willingness to bear your souls. It is always, always a great honor. There are a few unique sins, certainly, that get a priest's attention. If you really want to shock a priest, say, "Bless me, Father, I have sinned. I have not given enough money to the church." That'll do. There is one frequent sin I'm still waiting to hear in confession. "Bless me, Father, I don't let God love me enough. I don't let God love me enough." Yes, it is a sin. In a way, it's the only real sin. It's pushing God away by not letting him touch us here. I can be so busy avoiding God or feeling guilty or seeking approval that I really leave little room for God at all. Augustine prayed, "You made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Sadly, I anesthetize my restlessness by a life of distraction. But there's yet this hunger. Now just consider in John's Gospel, the Easter began with Mary Magdalene looking for Jesus, first for his body to be anointed, and then for him. She knew what she needed. She knew who she wanted. But she only recognized him when he called her name. Isn't that what we all want? To be called by God, by name. The strange thing is that God constantly calls us. But we're just not hearing. There's too much noise going on up here. Even our prayers can be just distracting noise. A yapping at God that doesn't listen. The psalm says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still." In stillness, we feel our heart's deepest desire. In attentiveness, we hear the Spirit's whisper. In savoring quiet, love can feed the heart. You know, God's love is made real, personal, and historical in Jesus. Yet we spend too little quiet time with him, right? When was the last time you opened up the Gospels? We rush to and fro from the sacraments while letting our prayer at times become very perfunctory. Where is that listening heart? You know, we will only learn to love God by letting him first love us. As John wrote, "And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as expiation for our sins." Do you have the sense that God is pursuing you? God always takes the initiative. God loves us always first. But what does it mean that the Father sent his Son as expiation for our sins? The cross is not Jesus persuading the Father to forgive us. God has already taken the initiative. Nor does the Father demand his Son's death to save us. If it were constrained, it would not be an act of love on Jesus' part. Christ's suffering as suffering can't fill the void sin creates. Yes, it reveals the immensity of his love for us, but it's not the suffering, it's not the suffering that makes us whole. It is his love that heals. It is his love that heals. It is life, his life, poured into us that makes us alive. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as expiation for our sins. Well, now I have to be scripture nerd. The word expiation, it's the language of the Day of Atonement. It was on Yom Kippur that blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. To wash away, it means to wash away the barrier sin erected between God and his people. The divine breath in the blood, you might say, blows away what gets in the way. Well, Good Friday was Yom Kippur too. Jesus poured his life from his side over the world to fill our death with his life. He pours it still from this altar into you. Take, drink, this is my blood. For what end? To merely make us good? That does not go far enough. His project is your joy. Jesus said, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete." Joy begins when we let ourselves first be loved. It becomes enduring joy when it is lived for others. Like a glass of good wine, love and life have to be savored and shared if they are really, really, really to be experienced. The Eucharist you hold, the cup you drink is Jesus. Don't merely receive it, live it. But love has a cost. It becomes self-sacrificing in itself. This is my commandment, love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. No greater love than this, to lay down one's life. So the very first step is always to let the love in, but then you got to love it, let it out. And so to really kind of explain this on this Mother's Day, I asked Teresa to share with you that second part, that most necessary part.
Jesus said to us, love one another. And so the boy searched, relentless and exhausted, digging with his hands through the mangled hillside, and finally finding his little sister alive. On the fifth day after the earthquake in Nepal, Jesus said, love, love one another. And the young woman answered her phone at 5 a.m. And upon hearing her friend's voice, went to his side and listened to his fearful words, telling of a mistake he had made and how now he was facing being HIV positive. Jesus said to us, love one another. And so the mother gently bathes her son and dresses him and makes sure to brush his teeth and comb his hair for the 1,000th time. She orders her life around his, looks lovingly into his eyes, and wonders with a weary ache, what will happen to him after she is gone? Love one another. It seems so simple, this final command of Jesus's. But given the stories I've shared and the many others that you could fill in from your lives, we know that loving one another is far from simple. Paul, in the Corinthians, rather eloquently lays out a description of Jesus' love command. He reminds us that love is, at its very core, patience and kindness. It lets go of jealousy or conceit and resentment. Love delights in the truth. It trusts. It hopes. Love endures. And I would add an additional attribute. It costs. Jesus is pretty upfront about this, warning his disciples about the cross, about the forces that will tear them away from his love, about the steadfast faith needed to follow his way. No one is perfect at love, and even Jesus struggled on his path to laying down his life for his friends, praying in Gethsemane's garden that he be spared the bitter cup of crucifixion. So, the mother in my initial story is not perfect. She loses patience and grows frustrated. But she chooses every day to continue to care for her disabled son. For the joy of an imperfect love, undertaken with steadfast faith, outweighs the cost of an easier life. Likewise, the woman who picked up the 5 a.m. phone call continues to walk with her friend so that he doesn't have to face a terrible disease alone. She could have been kind for one day, but she chose a different way. A more difficult love over an I'm really sorry, but I'm not qualified to handle this approach. And we will probably never know how the story of the brother and sister in Nepal turns out. It was only a brief news piece, one among many. Perhaps our part in their story is to pray that the great love that joined them together can now sustain their long and arduous task of rebuilding their lives. Jesus said, love one another, and he also said, abide in my love. Abiding in the love of Christ means not running away. Abiding means trusting that you are loved perfectly by God. And abiding is very circular. Abiding in God's love leads right back to loving one another. It's as if Jesus is telling us, don't get sidetracked from me. God lives in me, and I live in you. God is love, so live in that love. It's very focused. And all the things we try to do to shortcut our salvation, all the other commandments we place in our way, all the controls we try to keep over our lives, they will only lead us astray. Abiding in God's love is the call to our souls at baptism. The choice we make day by day, hour by hour, as we move through our lives. Dorothy Day, the founder of the Catholic worker movement in America, faced tremendous challenges in her quest to provide care for the poor. And it is said that one of her favorite passages from literature occurs in Dostoevsky's The Brothers Karamazov, where the old father Zosima points out to Madame Holokov that her supposed crisis of faith is really a crisis of love. And he says, for love in action is a harsh and dreadful thing compared with love in dreams. Love in dreams is greedy for immediate action, rapidly performed and in sight of all. But active love is labor and fortitude. And for some people too, perhaps a complete science. This is the kind of love that sustains us and calls us. Even at the end of the year, when many of you are exhausted or sick or discouraged, wondering if you'll make it through the quarter and have a job. So love one another, especially now, love one another. For love is how you will come to know the deepest part of your heart. And ultimately, how you will come to know God.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.